Are you still looking for that one iodine that you can really trust? A medical doctor-endorsed product that is backed by honest research and true integrative science? Then search no further. Go to NutraMedical.com for Dr. Bill Deagle's Nutriodine, proven time and time again to be the very best iodine available for you. Nutriodine is the only Tesla-activated monatomic plasma iodine in the world. It optimizes mitochondrial function and generation of new mitochondria, from totally neutralizing the venom from a desert recluse spider bite in Southern California to eliminating malaria parasites reported by medical missionaries in Central India. Dr. Bill's Nutriodine is simply the most powerful healing formula there is. Nutriodine clears the body of all known pathogens, restores it to an alkaline state, and even promotes stem cell regeneration. Order Dr. Bill's Nutriodine today at 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutriMedical.com.
Welcome back to the NutraMedical Report. We have Gary Richard Arnold. It's a fine thing at the end of the week to actually expose, just like a dual pathologist working in the laboratory, all the ugliness under the skin, under the bone, and do what I call the geopolitical sectioning and microtoming to put under an electron microscope of geopolitical analysis. And you've got some amazing emails to look at today. Let's start off from the top of some of the ones you want to talk about, Gary. You got, for example, the article I see a list of here. I just want to, don't know which one you start. You've got the Ripon Society advisor attacks Trump. You've got Ron, discipline of army under red flags has been developed. And then you have the tyranny of social media censorship, German Marshall Fund, and then the open borders, lower wages, higher taxes, Congressman Knight, Love, Denham, etc. Which one do you want to start with?
Okay, let's do with the last one you mentioned, the fact that this Knight and other people and the lineup that we've got that is pushing this open borders. So open borders is key to the final coup de grace of the United States, and that's why everybody that's on a string or a puppet in the Republican and Democratic Party and Hollywood and the controlled media is going all out for the open borders. And
Aren't they?
And they're using these children that don't have anything to do with the United States that were organized in a caravan, a so-called ship of fools that was orchestrated by the internationalist, and you've got parents that probably the children were stolen from or sold off to.
These
internationalist coyotes, and they run them through Mexico. I hardly know a person that dare take a vacation in Mexico because of the rolling of heads in bars, you know, across the floor and the gang warfare and the cartels and the kidnapping and everything else in Mexico. So you can't tell me that these internationalists, these people standing on the House of Representatives floor, is concerned about these children and that the state, the cartel state of Mexico, which has the most number of millionaires, I think, of any country in the world, and people stuck into poverty forever, kept there basically by the Jesuits, and having this whole caravan go all the way across Mexico with their permission, the state's permission, to be used by the child traffickers and the people pushing the drugs into the United States. And those people,
the Mexican government are complicit with it, and the few officials that try to oppose it, they get terminated by not only the deep state, which is our intel agencies, and the cartels that are affiliated with them. They bring in up to $2 trillion in illegal drug trade, human trade, and organ trade.
Exactly.
Our agencies are deeply involved in this, aren't they?
To the to the pedophiles that are in, you know, the Bohemian Grove and Pizzagate and Washington, D.C. and all the other places. So this feeds all of their horribleness and their contract with evil at the Bohemian Grove, where they sacrifice, you know, people in the cremation of fire or cremation of care, and the emails that we saw from Elephant in Washington, D.C., with the children being taped and strapped and molested. We've seen their entertainment clips on YouTube before YouTube started taking down, joining in with this this revolution, greater than the French Revolution in 1848, with their guillotine. They're using every technology they've got, and they need the border crisis and invasion to keep us distracted. And the Republicans, we got to remember that the chief Republican in the House of Representatives that controls all the funding of everything that goes on from the federal government is Paul Ryan, who's related to David Boron in the Skull and Bones network in California. We've got a guy by the name of David Knight, and his district is right smack dab in the California valleys. These are areas that should be prime Republican areas, but what he's caving in on is his ag, the large agriculture, wanting the free serf wage paid slaves. So they've got the Republicans, some of these farmers that are part of the elite, that are joining in for their very cheap labor and having no contact or sympathy for the middle class and lower class, and benefit by these slave wages. And the same is true for Utah. They voted in Mia Love. She's a black gal. And everybody realizes Utah is supposed to be a conservative state. But if you go to the Ripon Society, which is a Nelson Rockefeller generated organization celebrated on the grave of JFK. They formed the Ripon Society November 22nd, 1963, the very day Kennedy was assassinated, and Nelson Rockefeller, if he wasn't already involved in the assassination, certainly took advantage of it because he wanted to be president in 1964. So the Ripon Society was formed, and it turns out if you go to the Ripon Society today or do a couple Googles and you put in Mia Love in Ripon Society, you'll see a front page of the Ripon magazine, the publication, with a picture of Mia Love, in which she says her favorite mentors are one, Paul Ryan, and two, Ripon member Kevin McCarthy, who's number two in the House of Representatives. So,
wow.
So these are, you know, the conservative Mormons and the Republicans in some of these Western states are totally either stupid or compromised.
No, no, they're compromised. Let me explain. Let me add a side note here. The highest level Mormons are all high level Royal Arch Masons directly affiliated with Rothschilds and Rockefellers. They rescued the Mormon Church when they economically collapsed in the 1940s with a bad investment in a sugar plantation in Hawaii. And that alliance, of course, is a natural one because all high-level Mormons, both through their Aaronic and their other Melchizedek priesthoods, are all high-level Royal Arch Masons. And people don't understand this. Even in the Salt Lake City Temple, there's an actual throne room for Lucifer, Satan, in the temple. I took care of Temple Mormons in Calgary. I had 22,000 Mormons from the Mormon prophet's daughter's husband's brother, and I lost 6,000 Mormons because I wasn't one, but I took care of Temple Mormons doing the most obscene, awful things, and I'm not even going to talk about it on the air. It's that bad. So you want to understand, it's not surprising when you see Mormons involved with very evil things and much more power than the percentage or total number of their people they are. They have tremendous power not only in the government but globally, directly tied to the deep state. And that's why the chief number of people recruited to finish their 2-year apprenticeship in the Mormon Church are often recruited to the deep states, the CIA and NSA. The largest single group being recruited into the intel agencies are Mormon. You know that, right?
I certainly was surprised because I read some of the books from Cleon Skousen, who had been in the FBI and I guess some state and other posts in Utah or Idaho, one of those places. And also Ezra Taft Benson seemed to be much more of a nationalist, imposing the internationalist when he was there. And then the personal, you know, families that I've run into here and there seem, you know, very family-oriented.
Well, they're family-oriented, and they've got some very positive things about themselves, about their families. But you need to understand what the actual origin of Mormonism is and how bizarre it is about, you know, Kalab, et cetera, and their idea of extraterrestrial gods and demigods across the universe. If you don't know how bizarre it is, believe me, if you read The Pearl of Great Price and the Mormon Doctrine by Bruce McConkie, let me tell you, it's like reading the Sepharad Zaira and the Talmud of Babylon of modern satanic Judaism. It's really bad. Okay? That's the facts. Ugly facts. Welcome back. And so, Gary, what we try to do is people exposed to information that will change their worldview so they'll ask better questions. For example, when we look at this immigration issue, the first thing they were saying, the Democrats, and obviously some elements in the Republican Party, they didn't want children separated from their parents, but only about 20% of the children are arriving with parents. And some of the children are arriving with other than relatives, including coyotes that are bringing drugs, like Chinese fentanyl across, or these children are actually involved with prostitution already because they're raped all the way to their destination.
Yeah, and then the count is almost 80%. So the mothers
80% are basically children arriving alone.
Contraceptives and hope they make it to the border
right.
Or maybe they don't even get that chance because if their country is so bad and they're really leaving it because of abuse, I mean there should be somebody standing up in the State Department. And, you know, creating a coalition to stop that abuse, that there's, you know, murder and movement, you know, migration movements. Isn't that what the United Nations is there for when there's totalitarian governments committing genocide and violence against their own people? Why isn't the UN coming out and protesting against Honduras and Guatemala and El Salvador?
Right.
We don't hear any of that. We don't hear anything from our State Department or Nikki, whatever her name is,
Nikki Haley.
In false flags at the United Nations.
Right. What I see happening, basically, is a bunch of theater. For example, I'm very skeptical of anybody's going to go to jail, including this week we heard that Peter Strzok is going to wants to present to Senate. I mean, anything he says is like digging his 6-foot-deep grave hole, 12 feet deep. I mean, how can this man try to justify statements or in his public statements to his lover, Lisa Page? And then, of course, I couldn't believe the report by Horowitz, 549 pages, so how biased it is. And the last page says, well, the FBI hasn't lost any of its luster. I mean, they're still good guys.
I've heard that before from Comey.
I mean, I think it's so obscene. It's like, you've got to be kidding. This is not real, okay?
Yeah, don't do it to me again. This is going to be the last time. Wasn't that supposed to be this week for the 19th time with Paul Ryan and all these guys who are going to, indict the head of the FBI?
I don't think anything's going to happen. I think this is all public hoo-ha just for public consumption of the news media. I'm sick and tired of even watching Fox because I hear them continually over and over and over again ad nauseum saying how they're going to do something. I don't see anything happening at all. Do you?
I see a stall. What worries me is, Hannity has described, you know, this one scenario about 50,000 times, and I think you almost have to have that repetition of information because of the other side. But when he attacks conspiracy theories,
Well, that's the whole idea, is to wall it off and not...
Because the whole country, the whole world is run by a conspiracy, which means a few bad people are getting together to break the law. Conspiracy.
Well, people like Hannity and even Engel, they're all there to wall off that they're the only ones that are the purveyors of truth. And if we think of conspiracy theories based on facts that are obvious to anybody with a brain, you're somehow intellectually and emotionally inferior. And this dumbing down of the population in alternative media is why I don't like any of the public news, including Fox. For example, Hannity's never going to go to places, or some of these other people that are sort of there. For example, there's a number of I would call Rhino Republicans that they'll show great disgust at what the Democrats are doing, but they don't talk about what's really going on in the deep state, which includes Republicans, do they?
Absolutely. Well, so the whole network is Rupert Murdoch, and you go to the international organizations he belongs to, he's one of the boys, and my understand his sons are even more radical. At least the old man does a social flightist, kind of like an Alger Hissmite, but he's not coming out blustering, he's just fixing the outcome. So I agree with you. And the Republicans, I think, are so important to point out, because they're the ones that people are turning to as a resistance or a savior. People thinking, well, it must be the Democrats, terrible policies, and they're looking to Republicans. So the dopes sit down, they write their check to Hillsdale College or the Republican National Committee. They send it on. Republican National Committee sends pictures of Ivanka and Trump. And people sit down and, God, I love Trump, I'm glad what he's doing. They write a check, and off it goes to Mitch McConnell and Paul Ryan to destroy, independent candidates.
Exactly. What's amazing to me is that we think we're actually supporting something that's going to bring truth and justice, and we actually are supporting things that are maintain the status quo, right?
Yeah, and I can tell you a couple times I've been caught. In the state of California, the state legislature, there was one vote in balance that the Democrats would get a two-thirds majority unless a Republican won in this one district. I went out and I walked like a billy goat, up and down hills and to get this guy elected. His name is Sam Blakely. I look up today, the California Common Cause, and he's one of the directors. So, Common Cause was set up by the Rockefellers. The head of it was John Gardner. He was part of Rockefeller Brothers Fund and Carnegie and all the rest of it. And Common Cause, we were talking about this a couple weeks ago about lowering the voting age. Common Cause was responsible for lowering the voting age from 21 to 18. So, and now they're trying to get it down to 16. And the chairman of the national board is a dual citizen, Robert Reich. So, and he took a leave of absence so he could work on Bernie Sanders' campaign, who had his honeymoon in the Soviet Union, and they advocate communism here through the power of huge foundations. So here I was out there thinking I would at least prevent a Democratic majority, or two-thirds majority, supermajority, and we got this guy elected, and all my work went to this guy that got bought off and sold out, and is now ensconced with the Common Cause, looking like he's a voice for the people against power, when actually he was bought off by the power elite.
Wow. That's amazing, isn't it?
It's easy to do. I mean, when you're down, you have no choice, and you see yourself going into that disaster. I see people that are supporting a term limitation for city councils and county supervisors. Well, in California, we've had term limitation for the state senators and state assembly, and California is in the worst shape it's ever been, because the parties control the nominees. Nobody's in there long enough to identify with, really represent the people, because they know what's going to happen. So they know they're in there for a short time, and they better behave or...
So it actually amplifies the problem, is what you're saying.
Oh, absolutely. Because in the long-time administration, the bureaucrats take power, as does the political parties, and then the newspapers have put out a political rag every day of the week.
Wow. Amazing.
Normal blood.
Welcome back. So, Gary, what are the solutions to this situation? I talked about this several times. I think we need to separate the idea of economic refugees and get them, instead of interning both children and parents, ship them to work camps where they can pick food or do whatever we can to provide for them with clean food, clean bed, no gangs in the area, and proper protection of the children against gangs, prostitution, and other abuse. And also ship these people directly from their source, whether it's El Salvador or elsewhere, or other countries, even from not the Middle East or the Middle East or anywhere else. If we vet them properly, then they can be safe and they're not criminals. And I think we need to have a Bracero 2 program. We need also harden the border with proper, not only border wall, but also lots of cyber and other technology. And about 60 to 70% of the people that are in this country excessively aren't coming across the border. They just overstay their visas. They can come as students from China or elsewhere, and they just overstay their visas. So we have to understand the immigration issue needs to have at a specific date during the year, we'll call it the immigration date, where the states and industry put in specific requests and has to be vetted by government departments to say we need people of certain skill sets and abilities, and once they can justify those abilities and don't have a criminal record, then they can immigrate. But if they can't be vetted and they don't have the qualifications to fill a specific need, they shouldn't be immigrated. I think we should start realizing that we don't need to have massive immigration to this country. 65 to 70% of the so-called asylum seekers in the world are trying to come to America. And as the world economy gets more fragile, we should help people in their home country. Number two, we should clean out the drug cartels that are tied to our deep state, which is causing the immigration crisis. We should not support and do regime change of support terrorists or dictators. And we should work on the idea of cleaning out our own rat's nest and our intel agencies that are doing all this. Immigration is a much deeper issue than the idea of poor people arriving at your border trying to work. We can have a Bracero 2 program. I don't think we should just inter them in camps. I think we should move them to places where they work, but they can't get off the camp, and go to L.A. or Sacramento, and they can then get proper money, and when we're finished their term, whether it's 4 months or a year or whatever, drive them back in a nice air-conditioned bus with good food to their home place. They have their money, their bank account be, they can actually have, make sure their money is transferred so half of their wages are kept until they return to their home country. The problem, like Bracero 1 we had back in the 40s, could easily be refurbished to make it reasonable to not get citizenship, to not end up becoming false voters for the Democrats, which is why they're pushing all this. They want it to be an issue for 2018 and 2020, and they don't have an issue. I mean, the Democrats, now that Trump passed this executive order, well, they're not separating the kids. This is obscene. I'm thinking, you can't be enraged over the fact children are separated from the parents when Trump fixes it, which is a letter of the law, and then you can't be enraged again that they're detained. Well, they're detained. I think the solution to that is simply, if Trump's listening, to open up work areas in these areas like the Central Valley where they pick fruit or do other things that we want them to do, and protect them so that they're treated like normal, decent human beings. And we're not just using them for cheap labor. We need to pay them a decent wage so that when they go back to their home country, they can rebuild their home, have a garden, start an industry, or even buy a tractor or do something where they can actually be contributing to the local community, right?
I agree with two out of three. I think the Bracero is really an important one, and you just bring them in. That way you don't have to educate and provide medical care and all the other things that the farmers should be doing. They should be workmen that are certainly able, and they have to return. They can't, wait.
Yeah, exactly. It's a Bracero. What's the one part that you don't agree with? What part do you think that we should refurbish it or change it in some way? What part do you?
The other one I think is great is your students or anybody else that is here that is on a visa, so that when that visa expires, there's a way to be able to track them and have them returned and to have them fined so that they're paying for it, or a sponsor. They should have whoever is sponsoring them to take advantage of our schools and our industry and our education and our free country. Should be sponsors, and if those sponsors don't step up, they should be fine. There should be an insurance program where they lose the money, although even there I think people would probably, you know, go ahead and pay the fine and pay the sponsor just to get in here and escape and change your name. So some combination, I'm sure the technology will is out there to make these visas expire and make these people out of here, but to throw a sponsor on them that's not just a shill, where it's going to hurt them with some fines if these people don't show up, I think that would be a good idea. The only thing I don't like is creating a camp. I think they should be on the other side of a border, which all these the Bleeding Hearts and people, you know, with good hearts can fund and supply these children with the facilities like we're doing on this side, but put them on the other side of the border. We have to make our border wall impenetrable.
But in other words, but the thing is,
everybody else in the world.
Right, but they need them. We need them here in California, for example, to pick fruit and do kind of manual labor jobs, which they can do at their own company.
Terrorists, but not the young children and the wives and the families. I think.
Well, I think it's only a small percentage, about 20%. But we can have family housing so that the kids can have a school on the facility. They can have outings. They can have proper education to learn language skills. And even most of them have never seen a flush toilet in some places like El Salvador. So what we want to do is we want to have a program that's what I call an opt Bracero 2 program. But it is a camp. I mean, it's not like you're going to get off and your teenage sons are going to join a gang and leave and go to L.A. What we don't want to have a situation of unbridled immigration to the country that's not controlled. And I think we can do it. I think if we're clever enough, we can do this in a way that's humane and it's not obscene. And people go there and they work in a specific facility, but they're not getting off the ranch, in other words.
I disagree with you on that. I'd rather have the families go to the embassy in whatever state or country they're in and apply legally if we're going to be...
Oh, well, they should do it legally. No, I think they should do it legally, but I think that the alternative should be, instead of trying to apply for asylum, which is what everybody does, only about 20% get in. But my feeling is they should apply for a work permit to be able to work and have to qualify and show no criminal activity, so that they could actually work at a facility. And say, I want to work picking food. I want to work doing this and that. I want to be a logger. Let's say if it's a young man. I want to be to learn to go logging in, say, Oregon or Washington State. That's perfectly fine, but you can have a tracker anklet or ways to make sure they don't get off the ranch and go to a big city and become part of a gang. We have 20,000 gangs in L.A. alone. It's a big problem. And I don't think we can just say you apply through your embassy, because the process is too slow. We need to have a system so that if people can apply for a work permit, they can actually be bussed up from their home country, and then it can be done in a rational way. So we need to be creative to create a different kind of modus to bring people not just from there but from other places. You want to apply not for citizenship but a work permit to work. And if you work long enough, maybe you can apply then as a citizen, because you'll get extra credit because you've been a good worker at such and such an industry for, say, 5 years. And then you apply to get in the stream of immigration, but you got to show that your work skill sets are something we need. You know, maybe you've gone to school on the side and you learn to be a techie person and kind of assembling computers. That may be a skill set you can apply for citizenship and get in a job in industry. It should be state and industry driven. It should not be something that the government has a visa lottery or a chain migration. That's insane, isn't it?
Yeah, those items. In fact, that was the last portion of the bill this week that Ryan came up with. He, you know, they only had three things in there, and one of them wasn't the border wall, and one of them wasn't the lottery, and one of them wasn't the chain. So you can see how bad the situation is. As far
right.
as paying for asylum, I think the country that's committing the abuse, I think withholding foreign aid or putting something on top of tariffs on top of their products, or some other way so that the countries themselves are punished, or a way to help pay for the asylum.
And exactly.
It would be only kind or fair to have those asylum people go to countries where their own language is spoken and some of the customs are they're familiar with.
Exactly, yeah, but that can be streamlined, can't it?
Yeah, there's a lot of different things that can be done, and these international organizations are just...
Welcome back. So, Gary, let's talk about solutions. What's your solution? Let's try to put some detail into it if you can.
Well, let's see. I don't know. I think there almost should be a moratorium. The thing is out of control.
I don't think a moratorium will work because we're going to need immigration just for even our industry and the growth of industry in America now, the economy. Specific needs. To give an example, dirty jobs, Mike Gross said there's 6 million jobs of people that aren't trained in trades. We could bring 6 million tradesmen in even if they come on work visas. We need tech people because we're developing new technologies. Part of the problem with China is they're stealing our tech, but they're amplifying because they have tons of tech schools and universities. If you want to set up a business and you need, say, 1,200 people to assemble microchips or computers. You can't do it in America because you don't have enough people trained, say, in California or otherwise. You can go to China and just call a few people in the Communist Party, and they can assemble the people for a factory in 90 days. Part of the problem is what's called job amplification and reinventing what the future economy is going to be 10 years from now, where 90% of the new jobs aren't even invented yet. So what I see happening is a moratorium won't work, but you need to have the brakes on. We should have a limit on the total numbers, but it should be limited by states and industry based on what their actual needs are, and it should be vetted so we don't end up with a massive flood of people arriving on our shores, blowing our economy and our number of people here, say, from 327 million, which is probably more than that. My guess is there's not 12 million excess illegals here. There's not 24 million. It's probably more like 30.5 million. And a lot of them aren't even just coming across the border from Mexico and Central America. They're coming from Russia and the Middle East and elsewhere. And they arrive sometimes across the southern border, but they just sometimes overstay their university or work visas. So what I see happening is, I don't think a moratorium will work, but I think the brakes need to be put on major, don't you think?
Yeah, they do. And I think it almost has to be a little bit traumatic in order to get, you know, the Chamber of Commerce and some of these other ones to settle, so we can end the abuses like the chain and lottery and, you know.
Those have to go. Those four pillars have to be in the bill. It's my guess that next week, if they just need to get 218 votes in there. I think they have 193 votes already, even for the Goodlatte bill. I think if they take the Goodlatte and add some other little, we call the minor tweaks to it, so they can get the 30-plus people that are in the so-called conservative group within the Republicans, I think they could get the bill passed. I think it would be positive if we passed a bill before the 28th election rather than waiting until we get a, quote, red wave, because the Democrats and a number of uninformed Americans from the media, we're very likely, if we lose any seats, we're going to have a very badly hampered Congress, and of course the Senate, because they have the 60-vote rule, will have a paralysis of the government under Trump, and he'll have lots of things to do. He won't be able to do anything. The last 2 years of his presidency, of his first term, will be ridiculous, won't it?
It will, and that's again our rip on, you know, the rip on group in the Senate and in the House. So
the rip on group, of course, I like to call the rip off. Honorary Congressional Advisory Board includes Shelley Moore Capito, Senate Co-Chair, Cory Gardner, Colorado, Senate Co-Chair, Roy Blunt, basically Richard Burr, Bill Cassidy, Susan Collins, Steve Daines, When you look at this list, there's no wonder that things aren't getting done, isn't it?
Yeah, a number of them were CFR members, and at one time, like 60% of the Ripon were CFR, but I guess the CFR is getting so big now. And before, they used to recruit people to add as like parsley on a dinner plate. They weren't necessarily conspirators, but they were invited in because they socially wanted to rub shoulders with the powerful and their economic peers. But right now, I think there's nobody in the Council on Foreign Relations that doesn't know it's an attack on America. Just because there's been so many books from the invisible government to the shadow government to the deep state. There's been so many exposés all the way across the political spectrum. Who's ruling America now? By the hard left, and they did some good exposés on the CFR and the Trilateral Commission. So there's no reason anymore for the average person or person in a political party that wants to purge the globalist and reclaim their party and argue in the contest of a free American republic in which they can reach their goals if they convince enough people. But right now, it is a conspiracy, and a conspiracy is a violation that's criminal. And
right.
Criminal intent to destroy
right.
the United States and turn it over to a one-world government, a whole movement.
Right, and that's why we, with the deep state, what you're showing here, and you actually have names and places. If you listed all these people here and you realize even a lot of the people that are leaving, for example, you have in red the California congressman linked to in red for U.S. representatives from the House that are involved with some part of this conspiracy. It's to me, it looks impossible. I honestly think that what you're going to see happen is that the beast or the swamp monsters are going to kind of lay low and paralyze Trump, resist and obstruct. And when he's gone, either in 2020 or 2024, they're just going to go right back to their basic agenda of destabilize and deconstruct America and eventually hand over all the nation states to a global world government with trade zones. That's what I see coming. That's why I see the American the Beast being
right now.
Yeah.
All bull is what's going on with the dialogue, including Fox, although there's some bits of light here and there.
Right.
But people locally, we need to take the place of the expanding YouTube until they recently increased their censorship protocols. But it's time to
right.
start, sending stuff to your friends and family and church and service club and other people you know. And if you have to hide your name and do it anonymous and stick something on their front porch at night or hire some kid to do it, now's the time to wake them up. So it's in our hands. And we will make the difference. I remember what Lenin said that if there were 1,000 armed people during the Bolshevik Revolution, he couldn't have taken over. So, it's a handful of people that can make the difference. Whether it's a Paul Revere or the for the want of a nail, the story there, but
yeah.
or the little boy sticking his finger in the dike. So. It's up to us pedestrians to do what we need to do to save the freedom for ourselves and our country. We can't depend on one guy. You can't expect Trump to carry the whole burden on his back. The fact that he's been able to swerve enough to still be alive today and be able to do a few legislative accomplishments is really a miracle. And I think it's a one-time break that we have right now.
Well, we have a period of grace now.
To follow up.
Yeah, we have grace right now, but it's not going to last, is it?
No, this is, if Hillary was in there, people would be being marched off. We probably wouldn't be on the air.
Yeah, in fact, what would happen is we'd be already silenced or dead. Wouldn't
That's
it?
Right. No, these guys mean business. Look at the Mao, protocols, Cambodia, any place you go. Even those forces directed by the internationalists of our own government in the Phoenix program in South Vietnam and so forth, they went after the equivalent of the local businessmen, and that's what they do. That's how they clean it up and they consolidate. So these guys aren't shy, And they'll use a psychological warfare and everything else, but they intend and they've declared they're going to get rid of 6 billion people. I mean, they're emphatic about it. And we know who they are. We know the, you know, the Bezos and our friend at Microsoft and Ted Turner and all the rest of them. So it's not something to be aware of. It's something to deal with right now because the chemtrails, the radio waves, the salting the foods with binary data to destroy productivity and fertility and dumbing down the IQ is in effect right now. The war.
In other words, we're in the jaws of the beast. The snapping of the jaws and the licking of the tongue of the beast system is ready, and it's just being held back by Warrior Trump for now, but people aren't aware that it's not gone away. And when you look at these lists, and we're going to do a video afterward showing you all these lists here. If you sign on to Vimeo, my Vimeo channel, just go and take Vimeo.com and pull up NutriMedical.com or Dr. Bill Deagle, and you'll see it right there, the Vimeo channel. You'll see the video live, broadcast from live stream to Vimeo, simulcast, and it's free. Just go and log on to Vimeo.com, pull up NutriMedical or Dr. Bill Deagle, and you'll find the channel.
Yeah.
Dr. Bill's Cognition Plus is truly the smarter in an hour pill. A combination of amino acids, trace minerals, and B vitamins, Cognition Plus is made with specialized herbal extracts that will enhance and support brain function. Our customers say,
I feel more focused.
My memory's getting better.
I can work longer with more useful hours.
Power up your neurotransmitters that have been depleted, like dopamine and norepinephrine. Stimulate the release of others, like serotonin and oxytocin. Improve circulation and energy production. Protect your mind and your loved ones today. Order Dr. Bill Deagle's Cognition Plus at 888-212-8871 or go online to NutriMedical.com. That's 888-212-8871 or NutriMedical.com. And listen to the NutriMedical Report on the Genesis Radio Network with open lines every weekday. NutriMedical.com, bringing nutrition and medicine together.